Brought to you by Hyundai. Experience the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe.
Join twins get it on with the same girl. Meredith discovers who her true family is, and Izzy gives Sloane the what for. Don't know what a what for is? Stay tuned. We'll have all that and more in today's official Grey's Anatomy podcast, hosted by ABC.com. Yes, the end of November is upon us, and with it, another new episode of Grey's Anatomy. And just like the snowflakes, the dust is still settling at Seattle Grey's Hospital after the big Burke blowout. And today, executive producers Shonda Rhimes and Betsy Beers will enlighten us on all that happened during last night's episode, Don't Stand So Close to Me. Here now are the Keeper of the Holy Grays, executive producers Shonda Rhimes and Betsy Beers.
Hi, it's Shonda Rhimes.
Betsy Beers.
Grey's Anatomy.
So, how's everything going on your end here?
Oh, everything's going beautifully.
Fabulous. I know, it's good. It's all awesome.
So we're here to talk to you today about Don't Stand So Close to Me.
Which is, I just love this episode. This episode has one of the coolest things in it to me, which is our twins.
Conjoined twins. Which I was really proud of, sort of, A, how the Burmans, Burmans are our special effects gurus, made the conjoined twins conjoined. Because those were actual twins who clearly weren't actually conjoined. How they made that look so real and how amazing that looked.
Absolutely. And also for casting purposes, big props to Linda Lowy and the kids over there because
for finding
actually
two
finding
great twins.
two identical twins who are
good actors
and in this case also were talented comedians actually as well was no mean feat. So
that was pretty amazing.
And as a result, actually, I think in writing the episode too, everybody had to be a little bit flexible in terms of the age of the twins.
We originally wrote the twins as being in their 60s.
These kind of older guys. Their last chance at life was the original concept, I think, right?
And then finding two twins in their 60s who could do this. We just finally just said open it up to all twins, and then we found these two great guys, so that was really exciting.
Which was terrific and really fun. And that whole kind of idea of this one woman who they both love, which I think is...
Yeah, which I really...
Incredibly sweet, and loves both of them in different ways, which is wonderful, so...
We really liked just the idea, the writers really liked the idea of just making this sort of very Bickerson's love-hate relationship between the two of them a storyline, because it really is, to me, a metaphor for all the relationships in the show.
Oh, I mean, absolutely.
We've got Burke and Christina, Meredith and her mother, Callie and George. It just felt like a really good way of physicalizing...
Yep.
What was going on,
that you're
sort of stuck with people.
Which is great. And I think it's just, it's throughout the whole episode that, you know, you feel this way. And then one of my favorite moments in the episode is that great thing at the end of the conjoined twin surgery with Sloane and Derek.
Yes.
Too, where you get this incredibly cool sense as to what their friendship was probably like before Sloane started doing Derek's wife.
Yeah. That's a good way of putting it.
I know. There he goes. Very delicate life.
Before the affair. I mean, I do feel like what's great is you get a tiny little glimpse that Mark and Derek really did get along and they really were these best friends. And that's something that's been lost for them.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely the case.
And while I don't feel like they've by any means made up, I feel like it was sort of a tiny step, just sort of seeing where their relationship might go.
Exactly, and just the fact that they acknowledge that they had a relationship in that one moment gives you some sort of little glimmer of hope, I think, for the future for them, which is good.
The other storyline that I really liked was the appearance of Molly and her mother Susan in the hospital, Meredith's sister and her stepmother.
Yeah.
If you saw our episode last season in which Meredith's father shows up at the hospital and it turns out that he's got this whole other family that Meredith's known nothing about, you know how painful that was for her. And so to have Molly and Susan come back was actually really something that we've been wanting to for a long time and really planned to do. And watching Meredith sort of try to navigate. I mean, it was interesting because I kept saying in the writer's room, Meredith needs to say to these people, you're not my family. And it needs to really mean something. And I didn't want an episode in which Meredith says at the beginning, you're not my family, and at the end is like holding hands with them or something. Because the idea is that she's this girl sort of without a family, and you've got this very sort of painful, poignant moments with her mother at the beginning and the end, and you're watching Meredith deal with the family that she's got, which is the other interns, and then there's her mother, and then there's Derek, and it's a little lonely for her. And one of the reasons why I created the character of Meredith in the first place was I was really intrigued by this idea of somebody who essentially was alone in the world, and how that family would form. So I love the idea of Molly and Susan appearing, and I love the moment where Susan says, "We could be your family." I mean, I love Mayor Whittingham. I think she's fabulous. And I thought that moment was really sad for Meredith because she can't see it yet.
Yeah, no, I think that makes a lot of sense. And also, I mean, it's that whole idea of why she's so close to her friends in the hospital, and that over and over again, what it reminds you is that for this group of characters, and for George too, who's in the process of going through something incredibly hairy with his dad.
Yeah.
Where do your friends fit in, and in what way are your friends, and do your friends continue to be your family in this in this major way?
And part of the whole episode is who you choose to be with. I mean, there's the wonderful moment where the brothers have been separated, and then one brother asks to be wheeled in, and has that great moment where he holds the hand of his other brother, and they're kind of joined again. There's Meredith choosing to sort of hug her mother. And that great, I mean, I thought Ellen Pompeo did a fabulous job just sort of standing there thinking, like, what's going to happen next? And this feels uncomfortable, but this is all I know how to do. There's Christina making the choice to get on the elevator with Burke at the end.
Yep.
There's all these great moments where you see these people sort of choosing who they're going to be with, painful or not.
Exactly.
Uncomfortable or not. Even Burke sort of deciding to let Derek help him with the tremor. Is part of that, is who you're going to choose to trust and choose to be close to.
That moment where actually he's talking George through surgery. And he realizes that, in fact, you know, every person reacts to surgery differently. Every person, every body reacts. And that you can use systems as a surgeon. You can go into situations and do what it is you've always done. But honestly,
he's sort of realizing that,
there is no rule. There's no...
Derek didn't wrong him. Derek did a great surgery, and that's just a result of the surgery.
And that a lot of people in this episode are sitting and trying to blame other people for things that, by the end of the episode, they really have to take a certain amount of responsibility for.
Well, the thing I feel strongest about is Bailey.
Absolutely.
Who starts out this episode just so angry, which I think is really interesting to see from Bailey. Just so angry, just so hurt, and feeling so betrayed. I mean, the thing that I feel like we've done with Bailey this season is to really, she started out this, you know, when you first meet her, she's this very strong, confident person who you don't know very much about personally. And to watch her struggle with her confidence as a surgeon this season was really important to me and really interesting to me. And to sort of see her, she's got this very clear code of ethics. She always has. And to see her struggling with the idea that once again, nothing's going to happen to Burke or to Christina, and that she feels this need for justice. And Richard sort of turning that around and sort of saying, do you understand how the courage it took for Christina to walk into this office? She's very much like you, was important to me.
Absolutely.
To understanding, you know, an interesting way, what Christina did, to Bailey understanding it, not, and for us as the audience to understanding it.
Absolutely. And it's why he's the chief. You know?
Yes, it's like the chief.
It's sort of at the end of the day. Sometimes I sort of feel like very often when I'm watching, like Bailey's got everything under control. Bailey's really got her stuff together. Bailey's
sort of coming undone. Yeah,
exactly. Ultimate authority figure. And what you really watch over the course of the past, I don't know,
four
episodes, is Bailey really, really questioning her ability to lead, which I think is an incredible. Incredible place to get Bailey, given where she's come from, too.
Yeah.
And which is where the chief comes in and how important the chief ends up being in these situations, because he does kind of feel like the only adult in the episode by the time you get to the end.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool.
Except for Mr. O'Malley, who I adore the speech that he gives George about the fact that George is angry with everyone. And he gives this long list of people that George is angry with. And he says, the person you're really angry at is me.
Yeah.
And I think that's so true for somebody going through what George is going through.
Absolutely.
And I mean, T.R. Knight, who plays George, is so sort of warm and lovable. And George is so warm and lovable. And to take George's character through something like this, to me, was to watch him become really angry. The one thing that George, for me, has always done is when he is angry, and when he is wronged, is he just becomes sort of this cold little hard thing, sort of like after when he slept with Meredith, or you know, those sorts of moments for him. So it was really lovely to have his father kind of give him this gift of sort of saying, you have to let that go.
Right. Right. I think that was, and even after he found out that Sloane had slept with Callie, it was this little hard, angry, cold
He was too
thing.
Angry to deal with it because there's too many other things going on. Which,
absolutely.
Which I thought was great. And you know, I don't necessarily know if you feel like at the end of the episode, Callie and George have made up, but they've certainly taken a very large step forward towards something that's past that anger.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the other person I think actually who gets adult stars in this episode is Izzy.
Izzy really dresses Sloane down.
He dresses Sloane down. Here's
the
exactly.
Whatnot. what I like about that is that, you know, Izzy is always, time and again, this person that we see who sort of ends up getting a little bit stepped on. Just a little bit. You know, because she's nice and because she's sees the good in others and because she's optimistic. And even though she's been through all the stuff, she's sweeter, but we've also watched this very steely side of her grow from Denny on to now. And to watch her sort of not take it from Mark was great to see, because she has spent all this time sort of not getting to be a surgeon. And it's for her, it's, you know, yeah, I don't get to be a surgeon. I don't get to touch. I don't get to do anything, but I'm not going to fetch you coffee. I loved sort of seeing her
absolutely
say that, like take a stand on that. And Mark sort of get his own comeuppance a little bit, you know, from her for it.
I love watching McSteamy. Just got to say.
He's fun to watch.
He's just friggin' fun to watch.
He really is.
There's just no way around it. He really knows how to give people the what for.
When did we become people who said what for?
I don't know. I don't know. All of a sudden I became this crabby 98-year-old woman with like a pell-mell and a small ashtray.
We need a tiny vacation.
Apparently we do, because we're saying things like what for, okay? Which I should be, yeah. Oh my God, the like word police have just come to the door with handcuffs to drag me off to stupid phrase prison.
And while, you know, we're not getting a vacation, you guys are going to get a vacation from us a little bit for the month of December.
You are. You know, you're going to have some chestnuts roasting on fires and Jack Frost nipping at things.
Or Festival of Lights.
Or some other special family things that you guys do. And
Little Christmaka.
Little Christmaka will be good.
We're going to be back on the air in January.
Yeah.
And we've got some really amazing, amazing episodes coming up. The episode that's coming, that's going to be the first episode up at the beginning of January, is something that we tried that's a little bit different from our normal episodes. It's really kind of amazing. It's written by Christopher Arnoff, who brought you McSteamy, Emerging in a Towel, and People Impaled on a Pole.
Yes, which, you know, are two things which are had immediate impact,
yes.
Let's put it that way.
But I think this is going to be a really, really amazing episode. And then we've got some real surprises coming in the episode after that.
Yeah.
So secretive and so surprising that I can't even pretend to hint at them, because the guy who comes and records our podcasts, he doesn't even know what's going to happen.
No, yet. He doesn't actually. And now
usually he knows, but
he's actually
know.
Looking at us right now and his eyebrows are up and he's kind of looking, why aren't you telling us anything? And we're cackling evilly over
but
in the corner.
But literally, this is one you never saw coming.
Oh, no, this is...
It's good.
You know, it's so secret, it's not even the full word secret, it's just So,
I think it's so secret that when we did the read through and the actors read the script, because this is the one we're shooting right now, there were gasps.
Literal gasps, which was kind of awesome.
Which is really fun to have happen.
It's actually absolutely true. And you know what? The good thing is, I'll bet that somewhere during December there's some Grey's Anatomy reruns. So
I should hope they're going to rerun for our favorite Christmas episode.
You can probably hope to see, if you really need a Grey's fix, because I know I do sometimes, even though I work on the show, but this is, I might as well just
I like to get a little early Grey's in every once in a while.
Yeah, you know, I think it's true. It's absolutely true. But you might just want to tune in and see one of those just to keep the love going, or watch the DVD or any other thing that
Talk
to your friends about Grey's.
The holidays are a time for family. Sit around with your family and talk about Grey's.
Exactly. You know, what would you do if you were McSteamy?
Or Izzy.
Or Izzy. How would you handle certain situations?
What would Bailey do?
What would Bailey do, I think, is certainly key.
Yes. It's a question we ask ourselves.
You're standing
a lot
in the kitchen. You're trying to figure out when to pull the turkey out.
What would
Burke do, actually,
yes,
in that
exactly
situation?
You, am I based incorrectly?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're at a huge, massive after-holiday sale at a big store. And
what would Christina do?
What would Christina do? And I think that's absolutely, is I think, just remember that as you're fighting with that person over the incredible sale item.
The $4 cashmere sweater.
Exactly. What would Christina do? I think we all know what Christina would do.
Exactly.
So I think there are those things that you can keep in mind. To have sort of a grazed Christmas, New Year's, Hanukkah, and any other kind
Kwanzaa.
Of holiday you like to celebrate.
Ramadan. Yeah.
All good. And
all good.
We'll be back after New Year's.
Yes.
Very, very excited about that.
So have a happy holiday.
Have a happy holiday.
Have a happy New Year.
Have a happy New Year. I have no personality. I just report what you say.
And I think I told you in the last podcast, buy your wrapping paper the day after Thanksgiving. So yes. If you don't have your wrapping paper now, because today it's November 31st,
yes.
December 1st, whatever. 30 days after November, able to.
December 1st.
You don't have any wrapping paper. It's too late for you.
It's too late. So go run like the wind.
Grey's Anatomy wrapping paper would have been cool.
You know, it would have been a cool idea. That's really too bad that we didn't think of that. Note to self next year. Chestnuts Grey's roasting on McSteamy.
Oh. Maybe just that shot of Izzy and George and Meredith under
kind
the
of
tree.
That would be kind of nice with the late Doc. Played by Chopper.
That's right. Not stop mourning that.
Okay.
All right. On that note, we're just going to go.
Yep. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
New Year.
Happy New Year.
Talk to you next year. This is Betsy Beers.
Shonda Rhimes.
This is Grey's Anatomy.
Grey's Anatomy.
All right. Thanks for joining us for today's podcast. We'll be back in January with more fresh podcast adventures. So until then, have a good New Year. And if you don't receive a Grey's Anatomy DVD for the holidays, like everyone on my gift list, then ABC.com has the perfect gift for you. Free streaming episodes of this season's Grey's Anatomy. Just go to ABC.com. Grey's Anatomy airs Thursday nights from 9 to 10 p.m. only on ABC.
You're hearing the sound of America's most advanced assembly plant, but Honda and Toyota are only hearing footsteps. Because right here, Hyundai is building a better SUV. The all-new, feature-packed Santa Fe. With standard safety features like electronic stability control and 6 airbags. And the protection of America's best warranty. 10 years, 100,000 miles. All for thousands less. The all-new, fuel-efficient Santa Fe. Only at Hyundai.
See dealer for limited warranty details. Safety belts should always be worn.